Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Welcome to Durba study session. Inshallah, I will be covering chapter 4 in this study session. The Sheikh mentions in chapter 4 rulings related to social interaction. The Sheikh mentions when it comes to socializing, there are some etiquettes that Muslim women should follow. Some important qualities that Muslim women should have are 1. We should make sure that we are among the truthful ones. We should make sure that our iman, our taqwa, our islam are all truthful. The Sheikh mentions that truthfulness is the best quality that we can ever have. We should live with it and we should die while having it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the sadiqeen right after the prophets and the messengers. He mentions this ayah to prove his point. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. He advises us not to be a fake person. We shouldn't be a fake woman. We shouldn't just be beautiful from the outside and empty from the inside. We shouldn't be a person who is like a hypocrite. From the outside, people think that they are something, but from the inside, they are completely empty and even filled with the opposite. We shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be fake. We should be truthful. Our iman is from deep conviction. Our modesty and our haya, our adab, our knowledge, our participation, our contribution is all should all come from the fact that we believe in it, that we believe in that point, because it's coming from the heart. It's based on knowledge, and we are convinced with it. The second point, the second quality that the Sheikh mentions to the sisters is to have patience. He said that a lot of sisters lose control over their patience quickly, so that some sisters get angry quickly, that they don't have that much patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fasbir sabran jameela. Be patient. When someone does you wrong, we shouldn't have a frustration with them. We should have sabr. Naman nasbu ma sabr. He says, don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. Sometimes a woman gets frustrated, maybe because nobody came to propose to her yet and she's attaining old age, or maybe because their husbands are not treating them in the best way. We should be patient. Sometimes women get frustrated when their paycheck hasn't come in yet, but that shouldn't be the case of our frustration. We should have patience. Things will come our way according to the timeline that Allah has set for us, according to Allah's timeline, not according to our timeline. Because what Allah chooses for us is always better than what we choose for ourselves. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help in salah and sabr. Seek help in sabr and salah. Seek help in patience and salah. The Prophet told one of the companions that he has two of the best qualities any human ever had. And one of them, one of the qualities, were patience. One of the meaning of patience is not to wait. One of the meaning of patience is our ability to adjust to the new situations. Sabr does not mean to wait. It doesn't mean just to wait. It is to adjust oneself to the situation. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in this situation for His reasons. We should try to adjust ourselves to it. Accept it. We need to be content with it. We need to accept it. The third thing that the Sheikh mentions is a Muslim woman should have respect. Respect, he says. So many times sisters complain that their sisters didn't respect them or their sisters don't respect them. Sisters need to respect one another. Respect another sister's privacy. We should respect another sister's personal business. It's not respectful when one sister asks another sister why she is not pregnant. It shouldn't be any of our business why this sister isn't pregnant, or asking how much your husband makes. Things like this is not respectful. It's not any of our business. We shouldn't have to ask these things. Things like this is not respect. We have to respect other people's privacy. Also, respect the sisters who are less covered than you are. Or just because you are more educated, you don't have the right to disrespect someone that is less educated than you are, or a sister that is older might disrespect the sister that's younger. That is not right in Islam. That's not part of being a Muslim, a mu'mina. It's not part of iman. It's not part of being a mu'min. We should respect the opinion of other sisters. We should respect the opinion. We should accept their advice, and we should respect their feelings. Another quality of a mu'mina that the sheikh mentions should be afaf. Afaf, which means chastity and modesty. It means our tongue should be pure. Our false language, we shouldn't use it. We shouldn't use indecent words. Afaf means to protect our tongue. Our tongue is pure. It means our eyes are pure. We protect our tongue, our body from adultery, from zina, from anything improper like that. Because this is part of being a mu'min. This is part of having iman. A mu'min is also a generous woman. A mu'mina is also a generous woman. She should be generous. Generosity starts with the spirit. We should be generous with our money. We should be generous with our nice words and our smiles. Just little things can make a big difference and make a person be wonderful. Make a person be very wonderful. Another thing is humility. A mu'min should never be arrogant. A mu'min is always humble and treat people with humility. They treat people with generosity. They treat people with kindness. We should smile to others. We should be cheerful. There was a statistic that was asked to new Muslim converts, and this statistic they all had the number one complaint. When they entered the masjid or when they entered a new event, they were stared at. There was no humility. There was no cheerfulness, no smiling. The sisters weren't welcoming to them. This was their number one complaint. He said, if we just add a little bit to our smile, we have normal smiles. Everyone has their normal smile. But if you add a little bit to your smile, like add the eye muscles to your smile, this will make a big difference to the person you're smiling at. This might even make their day. He quotes to the people who lost their smiles that you didn't lose it. It's right under your nose. So try and use it. We need to, smiling is sadaqah. We have to use it to each other to show each other that the kindness that Muslims are kind and welcoming. A Muslim should be welcoming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person that will never touch hellfire is an easygoing person. A person who is easy to get things from. A person who is easy to deal with. A person who is easy to talk with is an easygoing person. This person will never touch hellfire. Allahu a'lam. He goes on and talks about a woman who deals with non-relative males. Non-mahram. The first thing that a lot of people skip, or the first thing that we should think of, is إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. What still defines us is we are all brothers and sisters in Islam. And we look at each other. We should look at each other. We should care about each other. We should care about one another. To call them your brother or your sister, even if she is not my sister from lineage, or from the same family or from the same lineage, she is still your sister in Islam. He is my older brother. Allah also said that we are awliya, meaning we love each other for the sake of Allah. We support each other. Look after one another. We have to keep that in mind. She can be the best person in the world. She could be so friendly. She could be very, very tayyiba. She could be very nice. But when it comes to dealing with a brother, she could be very rude. We should care and respect one another. One of the most important rules that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is no man will or should be with a woman alone in any case. And any man who is with a woman alone, shaitan will be the third one, which is called khalwa, being alone. The ulama called khalwa The ulama said that two men with one woman, that's okay, that's not haram. But two women with one man, that's also okay, it's not haram. But what is haram is for two individuals, one being a man and one being a woman, that are not related to each other and in the same place with seclusion, meaning no one can see them, no access to it, no, they are in a room together like a hotel or office. This is khalwa. Even in the masjid, Hassan al-Basri said, do not be with a woman alone, even if it is to teach her Quran, because it can lead to haram things later on. The Sheikh said it is not haram to look at men unless it is with desire. Then it will be forbidden. Then it will be haram. Allah ordered women to lower their gaze because they are not supposed to look at men with desire. But looking at them to interact with each other, that is permissible. He said that. He said also vice versa. For men, they are allowed to look at women, but they're more stricted than women because men are visually stimulated. The Sheikh says the voice of a woman is not awra. But she is not allowed to speak in a seductive way. There is no proof that states a woman's voice is awra. The sheikh said there's no proof. How can there be proof when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you ask them something, ask them behind a curtain. That means there is no communication. There is communication going on there. That there's proof going against a woman's voice being awra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us to speak in a seductive way. We shouldn't have evil talk between us. There shouldn't be any bad talk between us. If a man were to ask a woman for her hand, their speech should still be with good. Their speech should still be like commonly good and known as good in society. So culture also decides what is good or what is not. A woman is not allowed to touch male. This is extremely forbidden. With a man who is not related to her or to you, and you're doing it with lust, like hugging or kissing. He said this is extremely forbidden, especially if it has sexual meaning behind it. The Prophet did not shake women's hands because he said that the hand can commit zina if it is done with lust, and he said that a woman can interact with a man if there is need for it. Aisha went to visit Bilal because he was sick. So many evidences show that there was interaction between men and women during the Prophet's days. As long as it is culturally accepted, this doesn't mean I can go visit a sister for the sake of Allah. No, that's not culturally accepted in this society. The concept of dealing in general, you are allowed to deal with each other, even advising one another. A woman came to the Prophet and grabbed his thawb and pulled the Prophet away from the man, and he would stay with her as long as she wanted to. A woman came to the Prophet and said, "I want to talk to you." He told her, "Choose any place in Medina and I will meet you there in the place that you wish." And this was narrated in Sahih Muslim. Interacting and communicating with males, that is not relative. It is allowed as long as it is needed. Mixing with women will be forbidden if any of the following exist. First, when a woman or a man are in seclusion, this is not allowed. This is khalwa, like I mentioned before. The second thing, when a man and a woman are wearing hijab, when a man and a woman are together, and the woman is not wearing hijab, and they are sitting next to each other, mixing, that's not allowed. That's haram. The third thing is when a woman and a man are so close to each other that they're touching each other. For example, he gave the example that if one, the way we were sitting in Al-Maghrib, if there was one man, one woman, one man, one woman, and we were all mixed together, then that would be haram because we're touching each other, and that would be very big fitna. This type of mixing is not allowed, but if men and women are separated and there is space between them, that type of mixing is not haram. Another thing is when mixing is for a short period of time and cannot be avoided, and or there is a great fitna to be unlikely, it is permissible. So if there's not a lot of fitna, if there won't be that much fitna, it is permissible to have a mixed gathering. For example, in tawaf, mixing men and women is a short period of time, so it is permissible. Even in MSA meetings, we might have to sit very close to each other because we don't have a big room. We couldn't find any other room than we have. Even work might have mixing. Our meetings or conferences, but it is permissible as long as it's a short period of time. In a short period of time, as long as there is. It's going to end very slowly, in a short period of time. Cases like this, there are exceptions. There are a lot of proof to these situations that he gave for us. For example, when the woman was holding the Prophet's thobe, that's a short period of time. Or when Abu Bakr and Umar went to visit Umm Hanit, that's also a very short period of time. And when Umara was also sick, they went to visit her to make sure that she was okay. Another thing is, mixing today is very common and cannot be avoided. In our society, it's impossible. It's impossible to go to a restaurant or that is one only men or only women. It's impossible to have an Islamic school that is only men or only women, or it's impossible not to mix Islamic schools, or it's impossible to not have mixing in our society. But we have to try and we have to deal with it the best that we can under the Islamic guidelines to minimize the evil that can happen with mixing and to maximize the benefit that happens by most gatherings. Partitions. These partitions were for the mother of the believers. Even the mother of the believers, sometimes the Sahaba dealt with the woman without partitions. They bought from women in the market. They sold. The issue of partitions if women want their privacy or something in similar. The question one, can I have a male friend in school? In this part, we watched a video of a few college kids, and they were all asked, can you have a male slash female friend? As you can recall, all the women said yes, but all the men said no. Then, when the women were asked, do you think that any one of your friends like you? And they said yes, they do think so. They said yes. That means they knew that their friends like them. So they were asked again, can men and women really be friends without the feelings going on? And so all the women gave in, and in the end of the story, they all said no. The way men function is different than women in Islam. In Islam, we should use brother or sister. We shouldn't use friend. The word friend is very tricky. We don't know where it can lead to. So we close the door before it leads to something. A lot of times it leads to something that is not proper. As brotherhood or sisterhood thing, yes, it is permissible. In school, like even a coworker or classmate, I may know him. He knows me. There is respectful relationship going on there. There should be that extra relationship. There shouldn't be that extra relationship. We shouldn't lower our guards. We should be safe. It's a short period of time, and it's for work purpose. You do it, you leave. Even for a professor might want to talk to you, and if you feel like they are getting a little personal, then you should leave. Maybe you want to go talk to the sheikh alone. You should have someone there, like your mom or friend, someone that you trust, but you cannot be secluded, or make sure the door is not closed if you want to speak with a sheikh. Number three, can I have male friends via social media? He said in this part, be careful because LOL, something like LOL, can go to XOX. Can I use Can I use an informal way of writing to a group of people, including males? Use smiley faces, LOLs, etc. He said avoid it if you can. He said it is culturally accepted, but if it's gonna get out of hand, try to avoid it. Number 5. Can I tell a man I love you for the sake of Allah? He said no. A man can tell a woman in general. Number 6. Can I ride alone with a male taxi driver? What about elevators? He said that yes, you can. It is not khalwa, because it is not. It's a short period of time, and it can open in any time. The elevators. Talking about the elevators, it can open in any time. It's a short period of time. For taxi ride, you are allowed to get into the taxi with a male, but don't go far places because this can lead to khalwa. This can lead to you two being alone in the middle of nowhere. Like, don't go to Iowa in a taxi cab, or don't go to Florida in a taxi cab. This can lead to haram. This can lead for it to be in a position where it is haram. Don't go long distance. It is not seclusion though. You are allowed to enter a taxi driver. Number 7. Can I give salam to males or reply to their salams? We are allowed to give salams, and we are allowed to reply to salams. But if you think that you are too shy, you can just you can say the salams to yourself. Number 8. My voice is naturally soft and attractive. Should I avoid talking to males at all? No, but try to avoid over conversating with them. Number 9. Can a woman advise a male who is not related to her? Yes, we are allowed to advise men. Aisha and Umm Salama, they all advised men, and there were some were even teachers. Do we have to have partitions in MSA meetings? Are there any conditions for a sitting format? There's no sitting too close to each other. Try to be a little separate. Try to have the men in the front, the women in back. There is no Just try to be separate. Can I sit with my husband while he is spending time with his friends? In this part, the sheikh said it's a once in a while thing. It's an occasion thing. Maybe the women are going to sit together when the gathering happens between him and his friends, and maybe the men are going to sit together. He said, inshallah, it's fine. Just don't make it a habit. Can a woman look at a man, such as a teacher or lecturer, for a long time? Yes, like in the lecture, we were sitting there looking at him the entire time. He said, it's fine, just as long as it's free from desire, then it will become haram. Number 13. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wives, when Abdullah ibn Maktum entered, to sit behind a partition. And when they replied, isn't he blind? He said, are you too blind? How do we reconcile with this hadith when he gave Aisha permission to see the Abyssinians dancing? The Sheikh really didn't get into it as much, but he said that we are allowed to look at, we can watch soccer games, we can watch basketball games, but the only haram thing is to look at someone's awrah. That is very haram. We are not allowed to look at someone's awrah, so we shouldn't watch the men swimming or something like that. Ruling regarding the dealing of a woman with her family. Parents have a great right over us. We should respect them. We should obey them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala made the parents' right come right after his right. Allah said, worship me and obey your parents. Don't associate anyone with me. But do not mistreat your parents. A lot of sisters forget that. A lot of sisters neglect their parents when they become older or when they have acquired a spouse. The Sheikh says, don't forget about them because there might be maybe because there might be a miscommunication with them. Do not forget them because you got married. Do not forget them. They still have a great right over you. Also, the husband has a great right on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, among his signs is that he created a spouse among ourselves. He said, created a woman from Adam's rib, not from his feet so we can be stepped on, or from his head so we can be on top of him, but we are created from him, from his rib, so we can be the closest thing to his heart. to be side by side. We are the close, we should be close to our husbands, and he is a part of us. It's two bodies put together, but it looks like one soul mixed together, and half went to the woman and half went to the man. That's the nature of the love. That's the nature of a marriage. Another thing is that the husband and what the husband has a right on you to be respected, to be honored. The Prophet ﷺ said, if I were to ask someone to prostrate to another, then I would ask a wife to prostrate to her husband. He said, he has a great right on you. How you treat your husband will determine how high you will go to paradise and how low you will go to the hellfire. If you mistreat your husband, a lot of women lose their respect for and leadership for their husbands and their role in the house. Any woman who prays all her prayers and obeys her husband and protects herself from zina, she will be called on the day of judgment, and she will be allowed to enter from Jannah from any gate that she chooses or wishes to enter from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الرجل قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Allah gave men, husband, a bigger responsibility when it comes to the house. One is to take care of the household. And Allah created men different from women. The only time a husband should lose respect from his wife, the only time he should lose respect from you, is if he becomes cold or mean, if he has been treating you in a bad way, if he has no adab, manners, or he abuses you. In this case, he has to lose respect from you. He cannot ask for his respect because he does not deserve it at that time. But he doesn't deserve it. But other than that, that's an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. Many hadiths are shown that proves to us that women should treat their husband well and vice versa. Other hadiths show that men also should treat their wives well. The Sheikh said, one complaint that's common with their brothers is there is no more love or desire between the relationship, especially from couples who have been married for a long time. That's when the relationship becomes cold. We should look for someone that we cannot live without. The Prophet was 60 years old, and the love between him and his wife was there. There was so much love, so much romance, so much excitement between them. The woman that will inherit Jannah is a woman that when she speaks, she pleases her husband. When he looks at her, she will please him. She should take good care of herself, her appearance. She should take good care of her body. She should watch her tongue. Only speak sweet words and nice words. Shows respect, shows love. Do not be mean to the husband, because this could cause problems in the marriage. Children also have rights over you. Your children, you will be responsible for them in the day of judgment. And Allah will ask you about this responsibility. We have to be nice and merciful to our children. We shouldn't have them grow up in fear. We shouldn't have them grow up in filled with fear and abuse. We should have them be in a home with mercy and love. We should love our children. We should be well to them. They should be well educated. They should be well mannered. Another thing that the Sheikh mentions that have right over us is extended family. Extended family is very important. Silatul Rahim. Many sisters don't know their aunts or their cousins. They don't know their extended family members. We should keep our relationship with our relatives. That is very important. That is very important because they still have the rights over us as Muslims. Another set of questions that the Sheikh went through is, do I need to take permission from my father or husband every time I leave the house? Cultural exceptions, sometimes you don't have to, like, to do everyday activity. For example, going to the store, going getting your groceries, going to school, going to college, going to work, stuff like this, you do not need to take permission from them because it's normal activities. They should know that you're going to school. They should know that you're doing your daily activities, so you don't need to ask them every time. But if it's out of the norm, if it's out of the normal, like they don't you're not doing it every day, yes, you need to ask them for permission. You shouldn't leave a sticky note saying that you're going somewhere far. You should to let them know in advance that you are going somewhere. Number two, does my husband have rights to prevent me from visiting my family or prevent them from visiting the home? No, he does not have the right to prevent you from visiting the family. He can't. There should be respect between your marriage. Marriage is love and respect. He should respect your family and you should respect his. The Sheikh said though, he can have the power to prevent your family from coming, but he shouldn't. Like it's like he said, love and respect, but but try to work things out with him. Number three, what are the rights of my in-laws upon me? The one of the rights is to respect them and to be hospitable, like to be nice, to treat them in a good way. Number four, if I am not in the mood for intimacy and my husband wants me to be intimate, is it sinful to refuse? The Sheikh said no, you can refuse. He said sometimes you're not in a good mood, sometimes you're feeling depressed, so no means no sometimes. But sometimes intimacy can make things better. You can say no, but don't make it a habit. Don't always keep saying no. Number five, who has more right over me, my parents or my husband? Husband, of course, because you're living with your husband. This is a household issue. You're living with him. Maybe the Sheikh said in certain situations, the father or the parents have control over the situation. The parents have more right over you, but that's in their household. That's if something happens in their household that deals with you. But in your household, the Sheikh said, depending on the situation, your husband always has right over you. He said that if your husband wants to take you on a trip and your father refuses, your husband has more right than your father. Do my parents have the right to invade my privacy? The Sheikh's answer was yes, Islamically, he has the right to invade your privacy, but you need to have respect. The Sheikh said there's a difference between having your privacy, but you cannot lie to us, or having your privacy, but there's no secrecy. You can have your privacy, but you have to tell me what you're up to. Or the parents need to keep an eye on their children regardless what the situation is. They have to keep their eye on the children. They can't just trust a person blindly. Number seven, what should I do if I'm invited to a family celebration that contains impermissible practices? He said, depends on the practices and the family close members he said, depending on the practice, like if there's drinking or if there's dancing, he said, you don't have to go if it's not close family. He said, you don't need to attend the wedding or whatever celebration that's being celebrated, you don't have to go. But if it's someone that's gonna get hurt by you not going, for example, your brother and he has music and he has dancing and he has alcohol or whatever the case might be, you can go, you can stay, just you don't have to participate in the haram practices. It's not up to you. It's up to you actually to stay away from the haram. Number eight, a woman who has been married several times passes away. Which husband will she be with in Jannah? There are a few opinions on this answer. One opinion that the ulama came to was the last one. The last person that she married, well, she will be with in Jannah. The second one is the best mannered one, the one who has the best manners. But that one is a weak hadith. One is a weak narration. The third choice is the third opinion that the scholars came to is it is by choice. You are allowed to choose who you want to end up with in Jannah. Another set of questions that the Sheikh went through is, Can I have non-Muslim friends? The sheikh says, in general, yes, you're allowed to have non-Muslim friends. You can talk to them, you can chit-chat with them, but don't take them to the heart. Don't make them be close. Do not have them as your close companion, where secrets are revealed and they know a lot about you. Don't. That's not a good idea because they might not be that trustworthy. Number two, my friend is not religious. Would it be okay to continue my friendship with her? The sheikh said it is not a problem for you to continue. The problem comes when the badness, the non-religiousness of her starts to influence you, starts to affect you. Like if she drinks or if she starts to influence you in a bad way, then you have to let this person go. It is haram for you to be with her. Number three, are stereotypical jokes considered halal? He said, if anyone that hears the joke and can get hurt by it, the person gets hurt, the person's feelings get hurt, then it will be haram. But it's not haram to say stereotypical jokes. The thing is that the sheikh said, the problem is not saying the joke. The problem is it lying? Is it considered lying? Stereotypical scenarios, he said, are usually true, so there's no problem with it. Number four, what is the ruling regarding women's only practices, parties that contain dances and music? He said he doesn't believe in music, so he doesn't think it's permissible, but he said if you would to have parties, Eids, weddings, and great victories. He said great victories such as winning an Islamic victory, not a victory like a soccer victory or something like that. He said an Islamic victory it's okay to have like a celebration for it. Sometimes when I sit with my friends, they backbite. What should I do in such case? What should I do if I backbite someone? He said you should stop it. Do not support them. Support the person that is being spoken about in their absence. He said if you support them behind their backs and they are being backbited, Allah will support you in your time of need. But if you do not support them, Allah will go against you in your time of need. Will leave you the most in your time of need. Should I wear hijab in front of a female or male homosexual? Yes, you have to. You have to wear hijab in front of male or female homosexual. What do I do if I feel like another female is looking at me in an unusual way? He said, cover yourself in a usual way. That's the only answer that he gave. If I am sleeping over my friend's house, can I sleep in the same bed? Yes, you can, but sleep with pajamas. It takes rule even if you're sleeping with a brother or sister. Cover yourself. He said that the problem was women back in the day, or still now, they sleep with their underwear, they sleep with their pajamas. So he said try to cover yourself, try not to... If you will sleep next to each other, try to wear something. Or use separate bed covers, because if it's possible. Number 9. Sometimes girls use improper words when referring to each other, such as lover or bed buddy, freaky tiki girl. What is the ruling regarding that? Every time you say something, it will be written down. Our words will impact us on the Day of Judgment, and even it will impact the way we feel or think. So be careful what we say, even if it's not meant for anything. This ends session number 4, chapter number 4. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفروا لي ولكم. السلام عليكم.